Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, The Prophet Jeremiah. Imagine the position God finds himself in where his creatures reject him and choose to worship inanimate objects. What makes mankind so stupid to believe in fables instead of turning to the God of creation? The people of Judah went to the forest and cut down an evergreen tree, decorated it, and proceeded to worship what we call a Christmas tree. Where did this pagan ritual come from? Worshipping trees had its origin in Babel with Nimrod, Semiramis, and Tammuz. Semiramis became known as the Queen of Heaven, and Roman Catholicism eventually replaced her with Mary, and Tammuz with Jesus. Yet all the pagan rituals remained. Jesus was not pleased with the people of Judah because any worship of the devil is an abomination. This message is entitled, The Corruption of Paganism. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm going to be preaching today on the corruption of paganism. And I was amazed as I watched the news this morning. I tried to catch the news just before I go in to find out what's happening. And this week, just about every day, there has been a disaster in the United States, weather-wise. And this morning was no exception. Some areas around New York, New England states, down to Washington, D.C., they received up to 4 inches of rain an hour. And they showed flooding. They showed a parking lot. Actually, it was a car dealership. And it was like somebody was just buying the cars. It was a river. And the cars were just coming out at lot and smashing into each other. And I'm thinking, when will we as a nation recognize God is not pleased with us? We got some things we need to do. So today, we're going to be talking about the corruption of paganism. I'm going to start in Romans chapter 1. Let me just pray a couple of minutes first. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that you will help me to present this message that you have given to me so that, Lord, we can learn, we can change, and we can become blessed instead of being cursed. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, their offspring eventually got into worshiping of sticks and stones, and they were referring to these objects as gods. If we look upon history, we look upon different nations. It doesn't matter if we look upon Egypt. The Egyptians had a civilization that was high at that time. But they were worshiping demon gods, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Romans, the Greeks, the Germans, the Scandinavians, the British, the Spanish people, American Indians, people in India, Africa. Everybody, for some reason, had been worshiping paganism, gods, with small g's, that are nearly not gods, but evil spirits. In Romans chapter 1, verse number 18, we read this, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. for the invisible thing of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like a corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The Apostle Paul wrote this about 1900 years ago. And he said, God gave people up. Think about this. People in great societies, great empires, worshiping demon gods, handmade, blinded, and corrupted. When God moved the Israelites out of Egypt, he was aware of the pagan worship in the land of Canaan. And he strongly warned them, all pagan gods and places of worship were to be destroyed. They were not to be saved for historical purposes. Turn to me, if you can, to Deuteronomy chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 1 through 3. These are the statutes and judgments which you shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of your father gave you to possess it, all the days that you live upon the earth. God said, now, these are my statutes, these are my judgments, and this is what I want you to observe. You should utterly destroy all places where the nations which you have possessed serve their gods, upon the high mountains, upon the hills, and on every green tree. You should overthrow the altars, break their pillars, burn their groves with fire. You should hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. God simply said, now, when you come into the land of Canaan, there will be places of pagan worship. They sacrificed children. They had orgies. All kind of different things took place. And God said this, I don't want them saved for historical purposes. Go in, destroy them, wipe them out, completely destroy, save nothing. Why did God say that? Because, you see, demonic forces tend to cling to objects. Let me give you this example. And this really shocked me when I learned this. It goes back to 1971. Our first time overseas in Sweden, where we were having crusades for about 10 weeks. We arrived on the island of Gotland, which is in the Baltic Sea, beautiful island. And we were hosted by the Baptist Church on the city of Visby. And the pastor met us and he said, you know, I am in grief. He said, I just lost my wife. She said she died a terrible death. And he said, I just can't understand it. My children are having problems. There is destruction in the family. I am also afflicted. And he said, you know, I can't understand it. I'm a servant of God, a pastor. Why is it so? And I asked him, I said, what have you done? What's in your background? Because we were in his home. And he showed us on some shelving, he had some demon gods from Africa. He'd been in Africa as a missionary, and as all missionaries do, they want to have trophies. So he went out and bought some demon gods, statues, little things that they had to worship in the villages. And he simply put them up as, you know, decoration, not knowing that he had utterly disrespected God's word when he said destroy it. He brought it in. The demons came in and they destroyed his family. Eventually, he lost his ministry and the man was wiped out. The problem is that most people do not understand the spirit world is real. It is more real than the physical world. And the spirit world rules the physical world. When we violate spiritual laws, there will be a destruction on us. In verse number 30 and 32, the same chapter, Deuteronomy 12, take heed. That means pay attention. Take heed to yourself that you be not snared by following them after they be destroyed from before you. That you inquire not after their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. You shall not do so unto the Lord your God, for every abomination to the Lord, which he hates, have they done unto their gods, for even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. What things ever I command you, observe to do it. You shall not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Take heed. What have we done in America? America is a melting pot. And every religion can be found in the United States of America. Over the last 300 years, we have taken every pagan custom from all over the world. Have you Americanized them? And we simply use that. And we don't even know where they come from. For example, you know, somebody says something, you know, well, I hope you know that I'll be able to do this. Knock on wood. And people say that without thinking. They don't understand. This was a custom in Europe. This was witchcraft, where they simply knocked on wood, calling upon a demon god. Or you're sneezing. And when you sneeze, somebody says, oh, God bless you. Ask yourself this. Why do you say that? I don't know. I heard it. That's custom here. You don't know. That's from the occult. That's again from witchcraft, come from Germany, Switzerland, where they simply said, you know, when you sneeze, your soul could pop out. And in order to get the soul back, you've got to have a little ritual, words. So we say, God bless you. But in the old days, it was a God with a small g. You go to weddings, and you're given a little bag of rice. And you throw that on the bride and the groom. And you say, oh, well, you know, that's part of the wedding, you know. And you don't know, that's a Chinese fertility rite that they do in China. In order for the bride to have many babies, they do that. That's invoking the demon god of fertility. So we just pick it up. We do all kind of stupid things. And then we wonder, why are we cursed? Jesus uttered the same warning to the people of Judah 875 years later. What we read in Deuteronomy was repeated 875 years later. And turn up to Jeremiah 10, 1 through 2. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaks unto you, house of Israel. This is the Lord. Learn not the way of the heathen. Be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. God said again, learn not the way of the heathen. As a young boy, I had a lot of warts on my hands. And I had a grandmother. She was not walking with the Lord. I don't know if she was saved at that time or not. And she said, not a problem, son. I take care of that. And she took a slab of pork, sliced it off, fried it, said some words over it, took that slice, that piece of pork, bacon, you dabbed it on my hands. She said, that boy, that would take care of the warts. And I was about 7, 8 years old. So I said, okay, Grandma. So I noticed a week or 2 weeks later, I had no warts. She had custom. She had customs. She had been taught this. This is always a witchcraft. And she just passed it on. It works. Demons will give you certain things at times because they want to hook you and get a hold of you. Now, let's go to modern day right now, 21st century. You go down to a vitamin store and you walk in there and you ask the people, says, well, you know, I would like to have some vitamins and, you know, I need to have more energy and feel better and so on. What do you recommend? Now, many vitamin stores have people that are in New Age and they are witches. And you will have the clerk say, it's not a problem. You stand right there, put your left hand out, and they will put a vitamin bottle in that hand. They said, now lift up this hand over here, and if you cannot resist and we can push it down, then that vitamin is good for you. That means you're compatible. That's witchcraft. You had Christians walking into vitamin stores. We've done a lot of deliverances, and it's common. People do it, and they think nothing of it. And then they wonder, why am I cursed? What you need to do in life is this. Ask yourself this. Do I have any rituals? Do I have any phrases I say that has no meaning or could possibly come from the occult? Let's take a look upon the description here. This is Jesus speaking here through the prophet Jeremiah, verses 3 and 4. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cuts a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with an axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fast it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They upright as a palm tree, but speak not. They must need to be born because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil. Neither also is it in them to do good. Obviously, we can relate this to the Christmas tree. And in the United States, Europe, we have now what they call Christmas tree farms, where they grow trees. And if you really want to do the tradition, you drive to a Christmas tree farm and you cut your own tree down and take it home and so on. Now, why do we do that? What's the reason for that? Where does it come from? Well, I want to share with you today why we are cursed as a nation. Some Bible scholars had tried to debunk these verses by stating that they referred to wooden idols which will be carved or assembled. The clear meaning of the text does not bear this out, because he speaks plainly of trees being decorated. This suspiciously sounds like a Christmas tree, but let's examine the historical aspect to determine the truth. And we're going to go now to Babel, Nimrod, Genesis, chapter 10, the first 8 verses. Now these are the generation of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tiras. And the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, Rephaim, Togarmah, and the sons of Javan, Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. But these were the eyes of the Gentiles divided to their lands, every one after his tongue, after the family of the nations. And the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, and Phut, and Canaan. And the sons of Cush, Seba, Havilah, Sabtai, Ramah, Sabshah, and the sons of Ramah, Sheba and Dedan. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty man in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, wherefore said, even as Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. At the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh, in the land of Shinar. Nimrod goes back many years. And Nimrod was an evil man. He created an empire, city of Babel, that later on became Babylon. He would kill men. He starved himself. Now Nimrod was rebellious. Now I want you to think about this. He was a great-grandson of Noah, fourth generation. He knew about what happened before the flood. He knew about the flood. And Nimrod was angry. He was angry with God. He was demonized. And he decided to build a tower. In the legends that have been preserved in Jewish literature, it gives us a reason why Nimrod built the Tower of Babel. He wanted to make sure that he would not be drowned if God again would do another trick. In Genesis chapter 11, we read from the verse here, 1. And the whole earth was one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, which would be in southern Iraq. And they dwelt there. And they said to one another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let them make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Nimrod, possessed by demonic forces, wanted to build a world government. He wanted to make sure that he would outsmart God by building this great tower. And he also had his own religion. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. I want you to understand, verse 5, and the Lord came down. Jesus is watching what's happening on this earth. Jesus is watching what's happening. He cares. His angels are out there watching. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which I have managed to do. Go to, let us go down, and they confound the language, they may not understand what I'm speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence by the face of all the earth, and they left off to build a city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad to the face of all the earth. Nimrod married a whore. This is a woman who was running a whorehouse. She was a whore herself. And prostitution goes all the way back before the flood. It's all been women willing to sell their bodies. All been men willing to sell their bodies. Her name was Semiramis. And Semiramis simply developed a new religion. The Babylonian religion. It's the old Antichrist religion that is still with us here today. And she proclaimed herself to be a goddess. Nimrod was a god. And when we go to Egypt, you find they don't call him Nimrod there, they call him Osiris. And Semiramis is known as Ishtar or Isis. Now, Semiramis got pregnant, but not by Nimrod. And Nimrod didn't like it. He was going to have her killed. Now, Semiramis, just like we had Jezebel years later, found out about it. They had a priesthood there, and the way they worshiped, they would take psychedelic drugs that they had produced, got into a frenzy, and she invited Nimrod to the party, and the priest ripped him apart. His body part was sent out into the empire, and she didn't tell the people that I ordered the death of Nimrod. Just like Abel, Jezebel didn't say that she ordered the death of Naboth to get his vineyard. Now, she had a baby coming, and she now developed this religion. She said Nimrod became the moon god, and he came down and had sex with her, and she got pregnant. And so the son I'm carrying in my womb is a god. When she gave birth to that child, which was called Tammuz, according to Semiramis, there was an old piece of wood in the room. And it sprouted. And spontaneously, instantly sprouted an everlasting green tree, like a pine tree. And there is a birth of the Christmas tree. And then she said, in later years, they put up a tree every day that was a birthday of Tammuz. And guess what? Nimrod would come during the night and put gifts under this tree for the birthday of Tammuz. Santa Claus coming down through the chimney and putting gifts in the stockings hanging there. Eventually, she got killed. And Tammuz also got killed. But Tammuz got killed before. And so now she devised another type of religion. Tammuz is going to be resurrected. And she said, in order for that to happen, actually this was done after her death, this is the religion that she developed, so the leadership developed this. And said this, we need 40 days of fasting. And then we will have the miraculous resurrection of Thammuz. Semiramis also gave birth to another son, Horus, whom she claimed was Nimrod reincarnated. And Semiramis developed a triune religion of father, mother, and son. Semiramis and Horus were worshipped as the Madonna and the Child. And as the generation passed, they continued to be worshipped in other names in different countries and languages. In Rome was Fortuna and Jupiter. In Greece, Aphrodite and Adonis. In Canaan, there was Ashtoreth, Astarte, and Moloch, or Baal. And in Egypt, it was Isis and Horus. I want you to see now how this religion spread to different countries by evil spirits. We're talking now about hundreds and hundreds of years. And if you go down and ask people in Egypt, where did this come from? They don't know. Unless they know history, they have studied archaeology, and they have gone through the old writings and to find it out. So the evergreen train of Christmas that we have in America dates back to the city of Babel. I want to give you a contrast. Turn me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. When Jesus was going to come down to this earth and be incarnated, notice there was no occultism. There was no things done from Satan's spirit world. If you look in, I'm just going to paraphrase a few things here. God began by speaking to a priest. And this is Zechariah. And he was speaking to him as he was in the temple. And said, you're going to get a son. And he's going to be a forerunner to the Messiah. He's going to prepare the way. Zechariah stood in front of his angel, Gabriel. And kind of said, well, I'm too old. My wife is too old. And the angel said, I am Gabriel. I stand before the Lord. You will not speak until the child is born. 6 months later, Gabriel sent to a young virgin, Mary, 16, 17 years old. She was married in name only, espoused, had not been with her husband-to-be. And the angel said, you're going to get pregnant. The Holy Spirit is going to come over you. And you're going to conceive. And that's going to be the Son of God is going to come out of you. Well, she had a hard time to believe it, but she accepted it. How do you explain that to people? I got pregnant by the Holy Ghost. But God also spoke to Joseph and said, this is for me. But I want you to see now in Luke chapter 2, verse number 4. How did God announce the birth of the body of Jesus? Here's what he did. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out to the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. To be taxed with Mary is his spouse wife, being great with child. And so it was that they were there. The days were accomplished, she should be delivered. And she brought forth the firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And they were in the same country, shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in a swaddling cloth, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. God sent angels, a whole band of them, to rejoice, to sing, to herald the Messiah has been born. What a difference between Semiramis, Tammuz, and God's Son, Jesus Christ. Let's go back now to outline. Christmas. The celebration of the birth of Tammuz penetrated every civilization in and around the Roman Empire. Sol Invictus was the official sun god of the later Roman Empire and a patron of the soldiers. Emperor Aurelian made it an official cult alongside the traditional Roman cults on December 25th, 274 A.D. Saturnalia was an ancient Roman festival in honor of the god Saturn. It was held on December 17th, the Julian calendar, later expanded with festivities to December 23rd. The holiday was celebrated with a sacrifice at the Temple of Saturn in the Roman Forum. A public banquet followed after with private gift-giving, continued partying, and the carnival atmosphere that overturned Roman social norms. And it was simply a drunken orgy. Have you noticed this? Particularly in America, there's no time during a year that people drink as much alcohol than during Christmas time. There's no time during a year in America that there are office parties and people are committing fornication and adultery. Every year, debauchery, drinking, parties, revelry, and of course, the tree. Not only, there's a number of other things that they had. Now, when Emperor Constantine declared that Christianity was to be the official religion of the Roman Empire in 325 A.D., the Romanized church simply realized we got a problem. To those of you that might not remember this, when Constantine courted the bishops, the Christian bishops, and said, if you help me with my election to become emperor, I will make Christianity a state religion. Half of the bishops went with Constantine. The other half simply left and said, we have no part of it. They were later killed and persecuted. Now, we now had a church, a state church. Prior to this, you had to be born again to get into the church. Now, membership was open to any Roman citizen. And of course, they're not going to be born again. So they simply devised a method. In every city, every place, they set up a platform. They had priests or bishops or whatever they had up on top, big vats of water, and the people would march under these platforms, and they sprinkled holy water on them, and that's how they became members of the Roman Catholic Church. They were ungenerated, not born again, heathens. With all the traditions, the church leadership, the Roman church leadership, simply said this. We're not going to get that paganism out of them. They are determined to do their worship. We have to Christianize it. Let's take Tammuz and say, Jesus. Let's simply say this. Jesus was born on December 25th. That would fit it. Is that in the Bible? No. Does anyone know when the body of Jesus was born? No. That was set by his leadership. And they Christianized everything. And the pagan custom was retained. Later on, we got for the Vikings the ham. Of course, you got to have a Christmas ham, right, folks? Where do you get that from? That came from the Vikings. Because on the 25th, they sacrificed the biggest male pig you had, the boar. And he was led into the temple in Uppsala. And he was prayed over and stuff, and then they stuck him. They got the blood in vats so they could drink that. And then they roasted him. And that is where your Christmas ham is coming from. So remember this, when you eat that ham, you're worshiping Odin, Thor, and Frey, and the others. Good old Viking. We had a wreath, kissing under the mistletoe, burning the yule log. There was sail ball, the holly, exchanging of gifts, and so on. So now I want to ask you a question now. I showed you now where these came from, these pagan customs came from. Let's go back now to Deuteronomy chapter 12, and we're going to read from verse 1. These are the statutes and judgments which you shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of your father given you to possess it. All the days that you live upon the earth, you shall utterly destroy all the places where the nation which you shall possess serve the gods, upon the high mountains, for the hills and the every green tree. You shall overthrow their altars, break their pillars, burn their groves with fire. You shall hew down the graven images of the gods, destroy the names of them out of their place. Verse 30. Take heed to yourself, that you be not snared by following them, after that you have destroyed them before you. That you inquire not after the gods, saying, how do these nations serve the gods? Even so will I do likewise. You shall not do so unto the Lord your God. For every abomination to the Lord, which he hates, have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters, they have burnt in the fire to the gods. Today, we don't have these altars. They call abortion clinics. And that's where we kill a number of our children. And now turn back to Jeremiah chapter 10. And this is Jesus speaking. Hear the word which the Lord speaks unto you, O house of Israel. This is the Lord. Learn not the way of the heathen. Be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. Now, let's look upon our nation now. Most of us have done Christmas. I'd done it until I quit a number of years ago. But let me ask you this. Is your family blessed? If you look upon your grandparents, your mom and dad, you look upon your own children, you look upon your grandchildren, are you blessed? Are things going well? In deliverances, I found this out. Most people are dysfunctional. They come from dysfunctional families. In the families, there's incest. There's fornication. Adultery. People born out of wedlock. People walking away from God. Children hating their parents. Parents hating their children. Siblings hating one another. It's chaos. In America, in Europe, we put a veneer on it. But you know what? We are not blessed until we come to Christ. We repent. But if we look back on a time before Christ, and then look upon what's happening right now, the fruit of the life we lived, it's only one thing we can say. We have been cursed. And why? Idolatry. We haven't understood it. I didn't understand it. I thought it was fun. Traditions. I didn't know I was destroying myself spiritually. Look at the divorce rates. 50 to 60% of all marriages have been divorced. People are still married, don't get along that well. All kind of problems. And we ask ourselves, where does it come from? Idolatry. Let me talk about Easter. Tammuz, I talked about it before, was murdered. And they simply had 40 days of fasting for him. So the Roman Catholic Church said this, we can't get rid of Tammuz, but let's do this. Change his name to Jesus. And we have the Lent fasting, where the Catholic had to fast for 40 days, eating fish on Fridays. Where did fish come from? From Babel. Every custom comes from Babel. And then, if you've been to Baptist churches, Pentecostal churches, you know we have sunrise worship service on the resurrection day. Where did that come from? Well, let me take it to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 8. If you pick it up here from verse number 11. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. In the midst of them stood Yaasaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, have you seen what ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imaginary. For they say the Lord sees it not. The Lord has forsaken the earth. And he said unto me, Turn you again, and you shall see greater abomination than they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which to the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Right there in the Bible. Then said unto me, Have you seen this, O man of God? Turn you yet again, you shall see great abomination of these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, the door of the temple of the Lord between the porch and the altar, for about 25 men, with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. Then he said unto me, Have you seen this, O son of man? Is it in a light thing to the house of Judah they commit the abomination which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence, have returned to provoke with anger, and lo, they put their branch to their nose. Therefore those who deal in fury, when I shall have spared evil of pity, and till they cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. God simply said this, I will not have pagan worship. Let's go back to Jeremiah, and let's quickly move on here. That's Jeremiah chapter 10 again, as we finish this message. And I want to pick it up from verses 6 through 10. Forasmuch as there is none like unto you, O Lord, you are great, and your name is great in might. Who would not fear you, O King of nations, to do to you does it appertain? Forasmuch as among the wise men of the nation in all the kingdoms is none like unto you. But they altogether brutish and foolish, like animals, brutish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Silver spread on the plate is brought from Tarshish. Gold from Euphaz, the work of workmen. Of the hands of the found, the blue and purple is their clothing. They are the work of cunning men. But the Lord is a true God. He's a living God, an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble. and the nation shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall you say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under the heavens. Satan will perish. The fallen angel will perish. The evil spirit will perish. And God is simply saying, why do we worship pagan objects? Why do we have that? Is there any reason? Now, we have the Bible. I was blinded. I read the Bible. I did not equate the idolatry what God was speaking about. And then the Holy Spirit pointed it out to me. And then I began to dig in it. And I realized, this is truth. If you take a husband and a wife, and the husband tells the wife this, I love you. You're going to be my wife. But I got a girlfriend on the side. We don't have any sex. We're just kissing. Going out for dinner once in a while. And I want you to get used to it. What wife do you think would get used to that? You as a husband, would you get used to it if your wife would do that? Would you say it's all right, they're just kissing, having dinner, holding hands, smoothing a little bit, you know, that's okay. You would say no. No. You got to be faithful to me. And yet, Jesus the bride. Jesus the groom. We are the bride. And we commit spiritual adultery all over. Have you not even aware of it? Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, and forever. Why do you think that Jesus would simply say, oh, this is America, this is Sweden, this is Germany, this is Japan, you know, this is the 21st century, you know, let it go. If you are a born-again Christian, if you say that you believe that the Bible is the Word of God, you better understand that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And whatever he told Israel, whatever he told Adam and Eve, whatever he told Abraham and all the prophets, still goes for you and me today. Amen. Understand that. Look at your families. Look at the destruction around us. Dysfunctional families. No peace, no tranquility. And we said, I don't know where it comes from. I don't understand. Idolatry. We are cursed. We need to repent, and we need to turn. Amen. Jesus does not have a birthday, folks. He's always existed. Amen. His body was born in Bethlehem. But Jesus was not. He just came and inhabited that body. Jesus never said, celebrate my birthday. Amen. He never said that. It was not done during the apostle time. It was not done until 325 A.D. when they took Tammuz and merged Tammuz with Christianity. An abomination. Let me take you, I'm skipping a couple of verses here. Let me take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, people say, well, I'm tired, I get cynical, you know, things not working out, and I don't know about this. For crying out loud. Stop. Pray. And say, God, have I been in idolatry in the past? Oh, yeah. Were my parents in idolatry? Oh, yeah. How about my grandparents? Yes. Case dismissed. Closed. That's why you're cursed. That's why we do deliverances. We do deliverances. We break the curses. But you cannot break them over your children when they are adults. You can break them over you. But look at the grief that we have as families. in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we pick it up in verse number 23. Paul said, "For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he supped, saying, This cup is a new testament in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Communion is the only thing that Jesus said, "I want you to remember me." He gave us water baptism. He gave us washing our feet. And he gave us communion. That's it. We need to go back to the simplicity of the gospel and do what he wants. Do you realize that Christmas Day was not an official day in America until June 26, 1870? Prior to that, it was not a federal holiday. I'm going to close with Revelation chapter 3. We're going to read from verse number 14 and on. And this is to you and me. "And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, These things is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I would you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth." Jesus is saying this. I don't want a lukewarm church. I don't want paganism in it. I don't want mixture. I read an article this week about the churches in North Carolina. And this article was written by Christians. It stated this, that in North Carolina, they are closing church after church after church. The churches are dying in North Carolina. Methodists, Presbyterians, Baptists, they're dying. And the reason is, the Holy Ghost left. When the Holy Ghost leaves, of course the church will die. It's like when your heart stops beating, your body dies. But nobody's connecting it. They say, you know, it's a Bible belt. We can't understand it. Idolatry. The Holy Spirit left. So then, because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of your mouth. Because you say, I'm rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing and know not that you are wretched, miserable and poor and blind and naked. Oh, we got mega churches today. We got all kind of churches in the country that are rich, powerful. They don't need anything. They got it all. But they're blind, naked, and poor. I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Jesus is saying today, would you change? Some of you are not doing paganism anymore. But many of you are still struggling with it. Because it's a tradition. And you don't want to upset the family. We've done it for hundreds of years. For hundreds of years, people have gone to hell. Should we continue because it's a tradition? Think. Behold, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, will sup with him, and he with me. Jesus is saying this. I want to bless you. I'm knocking at your door right now. I want to come in. I want you to change. I want you to repent so I can use you and bless you. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in the throne. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in the throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. What are you going to do about it? You know, I see families where the children are grown. You have grandchildren. And the grandchildren are going to the dogs. Oblivion. Drugs. Sex. Rock and roll. And you know, the grandchildren are getting married, getting divorced. I mean, the mess just continues. Not in just one family. In most families in America today. And we see it in our deliverances. People coming in, brokenhearted, just beside themselves and saying, you know, it's lost. Here's what you got to do. Start with you. Simple saying. I need to reposition myself. The foundation is Jesus Christ. No one can lay it on a foundation. Put yourself on that foundation and say, Jesus, show me anything in my life that is sinful, idolatry, of deception. Show it to me. Help me to repent. I want to give it up. And then Jesus, let your power come in. Give me power to pray, power to minister, and start with me in my family. What a tragedy as a grandparent to see your grandchildren wasted in the gutters. And you know they're going to have children. And they're going to be wasted. Can we reverse it? There's a possibility. With God, all things are possible. But they start with you. You. Me. As an individual. If you're not saved and you watch me today. And you say, I'm from a dysfunctional family. I got nothing but chaos around me. This is a good day to come to Christ. This is a good day to say, God, I'm a sinner. Father God, forgive my sins. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he died and rose for me resurrected. I believe he took the sins from me. Save me, Lord. Save me. And he will. In a few minutes, when we close here, Charles Turan is going to come. And he's going to read some scriptures. He's going to take you step by step and then pray with you to make sure that you know that you're saved. Call us, write us after you make that decision. We can help you. And to you, dear ones, that are saved, you're walking with the Lord. Some of you might not be walking quite with the Lord. Would you rededicate your life today and say, Father God, search me. I don't want to be cynical anymore. I don't want to be burned out anymore. I want a fresh anointing from God so I can be sweet and be used by the Holy Spirit to reach my family. And people around me. That's my prayer for you today. In Jesus' name. And here's Brother Thomas.
Father God, thank you for the word today. And there's nothing new under the sun, Lord. We thank you for the Bible that has all the answers. And we just pray that there will be a turnaround in the lives of people, Lord. It's There's a huge need for that. And we thank you, Father, for not leaving us here, you know, helpless or powerless, because with the Bible we have the answers. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places: heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner.
This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 14th part in the series, The Prophet Jeremiah, and was entitled, The Corruption of Paganism. The people of Judah went into the forest and cut down an evergreen tree, decorated it, and proceeded to worship this inanimate object. Where did this pagan ritual come from? The worship of trees had its origin in Babel with Nimrod, Semiramis, and Tammuz. Semiramis became known as the Queen of Heaven, and Roman Catholicism eventually replaced her with Mary and Tammuz with Jesus. Yet all the pagan rituals remained. Jesus was not pleased with the people of Judah, nor is he pleased with the majority of modern-day Christians, because all the pagan customs adopted by the people of Judah are still with us today. Where is the discernment of Christians who engage in such idolatry? It is with pride that pastors allow evergreen trees decorated with silver and gold to be set up in their churches. Then we wonder why there is no spiritual power in the churches today. How can the Holy Spirit sanction a mixture of pagan traditions with Jesus? Paganism is an abomination. So have Christians around the world adopted pagan customs and discarded the words of Jesus? The modern church is no better than the people of Judah 2,600 years ago. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1664. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.